Warning, this podcast contains explicit language, but if you can handle the profanity and the blasphemy, you're in for a Jesus-raping good time.
Today's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by the new brand of Catholicism in a can, Vada Campbell Soup, the perfect post-traumatic meal for altar boys. High in vitamins, protein, and spermicides, it's the perfect treat for being good and not telling mommy what happened. Vada Campbell Soup, get some from your priest in the can. And now, The Scathing Atheist.
You know, there's not just a demon of deception here, or confusion, or sexual immorality, but there is a demon of rape inside of this movement to violate your daughters.
I'm not Heath Enright, and my voice hasn't been altered, and we weren't desperately scrambling for a Farnsworth quote at the last second. But we did, in fact, evolve from filthy monkey men.
Thursday.
It's Thanksgiving.
And 392 years ago, not today, the Christians tricked the Native Americans with a big meal right before the genocide.
I'm Noah Illusions.
I'm Heath Enright.
And from helium-depleting New York, New York, this is The Scathing Atheist.
In this week's episode, a Methodist reverend is flagged for allowing head-to-head contact on a defenseless tight end receiver.
We'll explore the nuances of Texas dildo regulations.
And Israel levies a foreskin tax of $51,100 a year.
But first, the diatribe. Ah, Thanksgiving, the Americanist of all holidays. It's gluttonous, wasteful, self-indulgent, and better than the Canadian version. We celebrate this day by taking in an inexcusable number of calories and then watching other people burn calories off on television violently. We throw away more food per capita than some populations eat on the average day. We gloss over our genocidal national origin with a bunch of feel-good pseudo-history. And we mark the start of a four-week blitzkrieg of rampant consumerism. And that's all pretty damned American. But the most American thing about Thanksgiving is that it's secular. There's no awkward bullshit religious ceremony your in-laws are trying to talk you into attending. There's no break in the middle of the Cowboys game where Linus takes center stage and tells us all about the birth of Christ. There's no team of evangelicals plaguing the media for weeks beforehand telling us that Jesus is the justification for the mastication. We just get together and eat innocent turkeys. And innocent gravy. We come together with our friends and our family, regardless of which invisible superhero clears out parking spaces for them, and but for a perfunctory saying of grace and Grandma Rathering you'd not refer to them as deviled eggs, religion doesn't enter into it at all. And damn it, I don't care what they say on Fox News, that's as American as it gets. Most of the secular holidays we celebrate in this country are tainted by a bunch of rah-rah patriotism, and I'm not usually one for the don't tread on me, screw the immigrants and the indigenous, America fuck yeah, flag-waving crowd. But when this country was founded, it was almost certainly the most secular nation in the history of humanity, and that's a lineage I'm proud to claim. Of course, there are plenty of evangelicals out there desperately trying to literally rewrite the history books to whitewash the secularism out of our national character. But considering how plainly codified it is in the Constitution, they're going to have to rewrite a hell of a lot more than the Texas textbook guidelines to get rid of it. And make no mistake, there's a huge contingent of politically motivated Christians hell-bent on doing exactly that. And why wouldn't they be? Religion would be doing way better if it was legally mandated. Hell, when you consider the categorical superiority of the secular alternative to everything religion does or ever did, it's fair to say that a legal mandate is the only hope religion has to survive. When I hear the Michelle Bachmann crowd screaming Jesus for Emperor in 2016, I don't write it off as crazy. I look at it as their last chance. You know, I think it's worth noting that I've never met an atheist who thinks religion should be outlawed. I'm sure that there's a few of them bumbling around somewhere, but every atheist I've ever met and every respected voice in the atheist movement is just calling for a fair marketplace of ideas. We're just asking that religion be evaluated by the same means as everything else and be given no special privilege on the simple merit of being religion. It's the kind of thing you can afford to espouse when you're on the side with all the evidence. In the time I've been doing this podcast, a lot of people have asked me, what's the point? Now, I've largely dismissed this question because life is like a J.J. Abrams script. There doesn't have to be a point. Things don't have to add up. It's enough that we're having fun recording it and that other people are having fun listening to it. But whenever I see that specter of theocracy creeping into the national conversation, I rethink that. I was on a panel the other day with C.J. Whirlman discussing his new book, Crucifying America, where he makes the argument that unless atheists can match the political enthusiasm of the Christian right, the forces of theocracy are going to continue chipping away at our secular government, and they're not going to stop until we can out-zealoty Ron. So this year, when I'm gorging on seared bird flesh and watching the Lions discover a new and creative way to blow a fourth quarter lead, I'm going to take time to be thankful that I live in a secular nation. And when the turkey wears off, I'm going to get back to work doing my part to keep it that way. Because America, fuck yeah.
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast and bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me for headlines tonight is religious marketing guru Heath Enright. Heath, any advertising advice for Christianity?
I don't know, it might be time for a new logo. Mm-hmm. I feel like the torture diorama in every church, it could be a little more relatable. Maybe a different murder victim on a different shape. You know, instead of Jesus on a cross, what about like chalk outline guy on a circle? Just something more subtle, you know?
You know, or at least they could give the Buddy Christ a day in court.
Yeah. Crucifixion, wow. And speaking of days in court, in our lead story tonight, a federal judge in Wisconsin found it ridiculous that she was needed to decide that people with income have to pay income tax, even if they're employed by a fictional character. U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb struck down a 1954 law that allowed ministers a tax exemption designed to compensate for their unique financial burden called housing costs.
You know, it's tempting to celebrate here, but if you think about it, the real victims are the children.
Usually.
Because as I understand it, most priests can barely afford to lubricate their victims even now. They take this hit.
Indeed, tear-free ass lube for kids is another unique financial burden for clergy. So the lawsuit was filed by the Freedom from Religion Foundation against the Treasury Department and the IRS for letting clergy steal an estimated $700 million a year from public coffers on this exemption alone.
Wow.
And just despite the Tea Party, which I love, Obama plans to divide these extra funds among communist lesbian single mothers to pay for their 20 imaginary children and buy crack, of course.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous. When you consider the Obama-mandated 93% abortion rate, that lesbian communist single mom would have to get pregnant 286 times to have that many kids.
Well, hold on now. Crack's going to lead to a few miscarriages along the way. So the number's even higher. Now, as much as it pains me to do this, let's segue away from crack babies over to a statement from Russell Moore, president of Baptists for Tax Evasion, who argued, quote, sick, the clergy housing allowance isn't a government establishment of religion, but just the reverse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the reverse. The allowance is neutral to all religions, end sick, end quote. So as long as the Jews and the Arabs are allowed to steal, too, it's a fair situation. So they're saying the opposite of Christians stealing billions of dollars is Christians, Jews, and Muslims stealing billions of dollars? What the fuck?
Apparently. And in the disturbingly thin Too Stupid for Texas file tonight, the Texas Board of Education has rejected the most recent attempt to force intelligent design theory into school textbooks, despite the procreationism side's outdated and off-topic endorsement from Jesus the Lord.
And just to review the level of competition in this category, quote, too stupid for Texas means dumber than all of the following. Ted Cruz, Vanilla Ice, George W., and, I shit you not, a law that makes it a felony to own 6 or more dildos. That's right.
Is that true?
Yep, I checked the books on that one. Pocket pussies would also be illegal, and that's really why I wanted to know.
So there's a legal limit on dildos and pocket pussies, but not on live ammunition.
No, of course not.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Plus, multi-headed dildos get you right around the rule, so it's not even enforceable.
Speaking of multi-headed dildos, the fate of this textbook still could go either way. Nonetheless, religious zealots have all but conceded defeat upon learning that the biology textbooks would be reviewed for errors by a panel of biologists.
That's going to be trouble.
A nail in the coffin, because the old there's no meth in the trunk line only works if nobody looks in the trunk.
Well, they've got that nice panel of scientists together flown in from exotic lands to Texas. Maybe they could skim over the Testament books a little. Thought? I remember seeing a typo in Genesis 1. So, you know, it was a good place for them to start.
Right. Well, I guess facing the unprecedented humiliation of appearing not once or twice but thrice on last week's headline segment, the state of Texas seemed intent on earning a positive mention on the show for a change.
Which is doubtful.
Yeah, well, I mean, this only counts as a positive mention because the Texas school board not doing the stupid unconstitutional evangelical thing has become newsworthy.
Right.
So, yeah, don't go yeehawing just yet.
And from the British Muslims with sand in their knickers file. By the way, that's not offensive. British people call pants knickers.
Oh, man.
Now, complaints of Islamophobic persecution have forced universities in the UK to approve gender segregation for debate audiences.
What?
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, ultra-Orthodox religious leaders can't handle public speaking unless the penises and vaginas are lined up separately when they picture the audience naked. I don't know. It gets confusing for them. I'm not sure.
Random genital distribution is like the kryptonite of ultra-Orthodox religious yeah. leaders. That's a good one to know. I'm writing that down
Indeed.
Now.
Indeed. Let's record that. And it's about time the UK took a page from the Sharia rulebook and finally found a way to rein in their problem with university debate audiences devolving into drunken orgies of sex and violence, which happens all the time. Apparently, deadly riots led by rabid debate hooligans were really getting out of hand, and at the root of the issue were the women mixed into the crowd?
See, I know you're being sarcastic, but we're talking about England here. That probably really happens. I'm sure at some point somebody's been crushed to death against a fence at an Intelligence Square debate or something.
That's a logical fallacy, Kilt! All right, so according to a report by Vice Chancellor's Group, Universities UK, as long as the seating chart meets the equality standards of an Alabama public school from 1950, it's fair. Quote, both men and women are being treated equally as they are both being segregated in the same way. End quote. That's right,
what?
I'll repeat that. They are both being segregated in the same way.
Oh.
By gender. So, apartheid is fine, too, because blacks and whites were both being segregated by race.
Right.
That's fair.
Yeah, it all makes perfect sense, except for one thing, though. Where do the transsexuals sit?
Great question. And that was actually addressed in the FAQs. You're not the only person to ask this question. It was frequently asked. So here's what they said. Hermaphrodites will be allowed entry, but not double entry like they're used to. Also, they will have to remove their penis or plug an orifice. And that seems unfair to me because nobody else gets to choose their own section.
Right.
And of course, as usual, eunuchs can't come.
And it's
biological imperative of their situation.
And in hysterical, numerical, chimerical, clerical news tonight, Methodist Reverend Frank Schaefer was suspended for 30 days for the crime of officiating at his son's wedding, made heinous by the fact that his son was marrying a dude.
Methodist couples everywhere are probably feeling a little bit gayer already.
I'm sure.
Sure they're going to be up in arms about this so-called fairy godfather guy.
Yes, they are. Schaefer was tried before a jury of clergy and found guilty of not sufficiently hating the queers, for which he received a suspension that many feel is tantamount to a defrocking. But considering the kind of macabre historical horrors the term jury of clergy conjures in my mind, I guess it could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, this is really just a slap on the limp wrist. Worst case scenario, the Methodists, like, weigh him or, like, build a bridge out of him or something.
Right,
it's not
right.
a big deal.
During his trial, Schaefer continuously emphasized that he felt God calling him to minister openly for gay equality, but the jury dismissed this because apparently even clergy are dubious of the whole God claim thing.
Yeah, especially if he likes gays. And in Riyadh reach-around news, just when you thought Saudi Arabia was getting too sexually promiscuous, the federal team of middle school dance chaperones, known as the Commission for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice, that actually exists, they've stepped in to cure the torso contact epidemic that's been plaguing the country. When concerned citizens reported a local man giving away illegal exotic things called hoogs or hugs, the Buzzkill Squad launched a massive investigation.
All part of the Thugs Not Hugs campaign, I'm sure. I'm just saying, considering the sentencing guidelines in Saudi Arabia, this dude's lucky if they didn't amputate his torso.
Indeed he is. And in a true Ramadani Brasco story, that's a callback,
nice.
An extremely brave undercover agent was able to catch the whole thing on tape. Okay, so we're really going to do this, Abdul Rahman Al-Kayal, who lives at 127 Muslim Boulevard in Riyadh. I'm going to give you these $0, and you're going to give me an illegal exotic bodily embrace. That's correct? Okay, he's doing it. Abracadabra, Alakazam. Red team, go. Red team, go. We got him.
What a massive waste of public resources. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that they'll nail all the felonious huggers, but while they're focused on that, you're going to have blasphemers and rape victims just roaming free in the streets.
Rape victims roaming free in the streets. All right, a couple of fun facts about the Sharia sheriffs, a.k.a. the SS. First of all, they resent being compared to the Nazi secret police, although they do respect the anti-Jew sentiment underlying the tenets of German National Socialism.
At least it's an ethos.
Yes, it is. And second fun fact, These are the same guys who famously promoted virtue in 2002 by murdering 15 schoolgirls in a fire. That's right. They righteously prevented them from leaving a burning building without anti-rape outerwear, which is required in public places like the outside of a burning building. So, crisis averted.
Of course.
At a small cost.
And in baby dick litigation news, a rabbinical court has ordered an Israeli mother to pay a fine of $140 a day until she surgically alters her infant's penis like a good Jewish mama.
It's like three rapes. And in penis headline form, plagued by foreskin envy, members of the tribe are calling for just the tip of the iceberg. Nobody raises penis veal in Israel without the Jewish mafia getting a piece of the action. It's not happening.
Fearing that allowing her to not adulterate her son's naughty bits could set a dangerous precedent that would add fuel to the growing international controversy over the unsanitary perversity of grown men licking bloody baby cock.
It's a controversy.
The court posed the following question in its ruling, quote, how would the world react if even in Israel the issue of circumcision is given to the discretion of any person according to their own beliefs?
They actually said that.
Like it was rhetorical.
Not aware of when they're embarrassing themselves.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I guess that would make Israel a laughing stock within theocracy communities at the country club. I mean, what kind of theocracy can enforce mandatory genital mutilation? It's just embarrassing. Plus, it's a public service in a sense. I mean, lots of guys would never get their dick sucked if it wasn't for the moil. So, I mean, they're helping here. And how else can you inoculate the infant population with herpes to prevent future herpes? It's just a lot of good things going on there people aren't aware of.
The court even went on to label common sense objections to circumcision in general, and the part where some herpetic newborn groupie goes all Miley Cyrus on an 8-day-old's testicles in particular, as anti-Semitism that must be combated. So, yes, for those of you keeping score at home, objecting to sucking an infant's dick is anti-Semitic. Objecting to sucking an adolescent's dick is anti-Catholic.
Sorry, I'm picturing a moil twerking because of the virus. That's got to go viral soon. Herpetic viral. And in Jism Schism news, conservative Christian groups are planning a day of prayer on December 10th. To rid the world of pornography and the resulting murder of babies during the controversial negative first trimester. Their missionary position on the issue blames smut and hand abortions for brand new societal woes like rape and thunderstorms.
I just want to know how much I have to chafe my chicken before I can summon a Sharknado.
Try harder, I guess.
I'm trying for the Sharknado.
Not wanting to get cocksock blocked and or beaver dammed, personal orgasm rights advocates will stage a passive day of nothing that will coincide and compete with the Christian protest.
There you go.
Since there's no plan, I guess everyone will just, you know, stay home and jerk off like usual. And when porn continues to exist the next day, we'll have proof that masturbation is at least as effective as prayer.
There you go.
So I think it might be time to go ahead and put 30 seconds.
I am way ahead of you, dude. There's already 30 seconds on this clock.
All right. Nicely done.
Christian euphemisms for masturbation. Go.
All right. You are definitely a step ahead of me. Spreading a handful of holy seed.
Nice. Snake handling.
Excellent. I speak in tongues when I do that. You know, like that last moment thing, right? When you finish peeing, you make that little boo.
Yeah.
All right. So, dressing your salad with peppercorn ranch.
Straightening the crozier.
knowing thyself, biblically.
Nice. Shit. Beating the bishop is already a euphemism,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah.
For
that's
being
thing.
Forced to whack off your bishop.
That's a new usage, though.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
Coin the usage.
That's mine, though. I'm using that one.
dishonorable discharge from the Salvation Army.
Nailing your palm.
Awesome. I observe Palm Sunday on a regular basis.
And Palm
pretty much
Monday
weekly
and Tuesday.
Daily.
Wednesday.
Yep. How about thumping below the Bible belt.
Nice, dude. I guess it's true what people say. Masturbation jokes are more fun with a partner. All right, so that's going to do it for headlines tonight. Heath, thanks as always.
I'm sticking with Messiah and Ara, bitches.
I think that's a good one.
All right.
And when we come back, Lucinda's going to join us to beg you for money.
Hey,
It's time for the Atheist Calendar portion of the show. This is the monthly couple of minutes we normally set aside to highlight all the great atheist, skeptical, and secular events going on around the country and around the world. But because of a combination of there not being much going on in December and me not wanting to highlight all the 2014 shit until next month, there won't be any highlighting of any conferences and events this month. But because we still had 2 minutes to fill and I wanted to write a new music bed for this bit, I've decided to go a different direction altogether. You see, like most atheists that grew up in a predominantly Christian culture, I find myself celebrating all the traditional Christian holidays, and this December I'm hoping to break that habit by trying on some new December holidays. If you'd care to join me, here are a few non-Jesus-y reasons to celebrate this holiday season. December 1st is World AIDS Day for those who want to celebrate AIDS. I'm not sure this one's for me, but it sounds like something that Heath could really get behind. December 7th, a date that will live in infamy, is International Civil Aviation Day, which we celebrate by flying around in airplanes that almost never bomb Pearl Harbor. The 10th is Human Rights Day. I'm not sure if that's really worth celebrating, but I figured the humanists would love it since their name's right there in the title. December 11th is National Noodle Day for all the pastafarians out there. December 21st is Winter Solstice, a pagan holiday celebrated by doing all the Christmas stuff without the Jesus dolls. And if you're with pagans, there's also probably some naked bonfire-related activity as well. And then finally, the 25th, how about Newton? If you're looking for a person born on this day about whom you can exchange gifts, decorate a tree, and bake a ham, fuck Jesus, how about Sir Isaac Newton? Seriously, golden rule, laws of motion. Getting crucified like a pussy, developing calculus. Saving a whore, building the world's first operational reflecting telescope. Jesus has nothing on that motherfucker. Anyway, that's going to wrap up this impromptu calendar segment for this month, but we'll do it again next month, only we'll be talking about atheist events and shit like we normally do. In keeping with the Thanksgiving tradition, we thought we here at The Scathing Atheist would take a minute to reflect on what we're thankful for this year. Things like family.
Friends.
The thematic smut suggestion website called Pandora's Box.
Indecisive juries and the improper handling of DNA evidence.
Multiple orgasms.
Late-term abortions. That was a close one.
Sylvia Brown not being alive.
Rechargeable batteries.
Subtle references to dildos.
But above all things, we're thankful for our listeners. We're thankful that people are willing to invest 30 minutes a week of their life listening to us make jokes about anally raping Jesus.
And we're thankful for all the encouraging emails, Facebook messages, and iTunes reviews that people have taken the time to send us.
And we're thankful that the FCC hasn't cock-blocked podcasting yet.
Good one. And we're thankful that we're able to find the cumulative 50 hours a week or more that it takes to write, record, and edit this show.
And we're thankful that you have a spouse who's so understanding and supportive.
And makes awesome Thanksgiving desserts.
And, of course, we're thankful for all the people who support the show financially and keep our little operation afloat.
Because telling God to go fuck himself is more expensive than you would think.
But luckily, for just one easy payment of however much you care to give us, you can help us bring you the very best dick puns and ass plays on words in the business.
So a genuine thank you to everybody who gives us 30 minutes of their life.
And if you'd like to say you're welcome, you'll find the donate button on the right side of the homepage at scathingatheist.com.
Chapter 1, God makes the universe, it takes him 7 days. Chapter 2, he makes it again in a contradictory way. And then in 3, he makes Adam, and then he makes Eve. Then he kicks them out of the garden cause they're covering legs. And 4, God's a dick to Cain but not Abel. So Cain strikes down his brother like the Tower of Babel. And then in 6 we meet Noah. God said, get ready for bruises. Going on the worst boat ride there'll be until Carnival Cruises. So Noah gathers animals, he builds a big boat. Guess no one else heard anything on which they could float. And then we spend an entire fucking chapter or two learning ad nauseum all about who began who. Learning who began who. In chapter 12 we meet Abraham, and he uproots his life. He takes his shit to Egypt, starts pimping his wife. He fucks a slave, she has a kid, and they exiled that one. Then in 99, Sarah bears a legitimate son. And then in 17, Abraham makes crazy decision regarding all his sons and slaves and adult circumcision. 22, he goes all screwy, takes Isaac his dyke up a mountain, almost kills him for the angel's sake. Well, Ada's got this tin inside him with class, so he sends a couple angels, they try to fuck in the ass. And when you try to ask rape angels, whatever comes is your foe. Whether your town's burned down by brimstone or you're turned into salt. And later Isaac meets Rebecca. They have Jack and his sow. Big brother's got the muscles but the brains of a cow. So Jacob cons his birthright for a warm bowl of soup. And his old decided that it's just as easy to do. And then Jacob takes two wives, he fucks with them and their maids. I swear a chapter's dedicated to Jake and Lady. Has a dozen sons in all, but he likes Joseph the best. So his bros conspire against him and they steal his vest. They sell him as a slave, they tell his daddy he's dead. He winds up a slave for the Pharaoh for not performing in bed. And here he goes all psychic, starts interpreting dreams. It takes a couple years, but at last he's redeemed. He stores up food for famine, he gets filthy rich. And when his bros come needing munchies, he makes him his bitch. And then Joyce shows back up, much to Daddy's surprise. Jacob, now called Israel, eventually dies. Chapter 50, oh man, oh man. Well, it's so uplifting. All the tries make a true. And by now, God of Yahweh, or Elohim, or whatever the hell his name is, he's promised the entire known world to the Jews. Back then they were called the Hebrews. Over everyone, the people that God would choose. Which is why nothing bad ever happens to
Before we wrap up the leftovers tonight, I wanted to let everybody know that Heath and I were invited to take part in a panel on the Incredulous podcast next month. Not sure exactly when that'll be available, but as soon as I know, you'll know via Twitter, Facebook, and the blog, all of which, of course, you follow and or subscribe to and or like. And with Cyber Monday rapidly approaching, I wanted to remind everybody to check out our Cafe Press site for all your godless holiday shopping needs. You'll find a link to it on our homepage at scathingatheist.com, but you're so damn clever you'd be able to Google it even without the link. And at the risk of beating this whole giving thanks thing to death, I need to thank Heath for being a clever, funny, godless bastard. I need to thank Lucinda for taking a break from cooking vast quantities of food to help us out tonight. I also need to thank Lucinda for cooking vast quantities of food, and as you may have noticed, we're still always looking for more Farnsworth quotes. So if you have a blog or a podcast to promote, or you just want to hear your voice at the beginning of the show, email me a clip. You'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com. But most of all, I need to thank this week's most vivacious vertebrates, Meredith, April, Rob, Bart, Richard, Jeffrey, Benjamin, Ross, Chris, and Paul. Meredith, who's such an incomparable badass that they had to put the word death in her name. April, whose face I'm totally carving into Mount Rushmore first chance I get. Rob, who, no offense to Peter Capaldi, would have made a way better 12th Doctor. Bart, slayer of six-fingered giants. Richard, whose ceaseless generosity has damn near earned him his own theme song. Jeffrey, whose melodious voice is sweet enough to cause adult-onset diabetes. Benjamin, whose intergalactic reputation with a katana keeps the alien invasion forces at bay. Ross, whose ejaculate is legal tender in many islands. Nations. Chris, whose gravitas causes quarks to chill the fuck out and act normal in his presence, and Paul, who, through sheer tenacity, has earned the right to divide by zero. These 10 valorous paragons of profundity have earned eternally archived praise and first dibs on the leftover green bean casserole and stuffing this week by giving us money. Not everybody has the civility, agility, virility, and mental ability required to give us money, but if you think you share Meredith, April, Rob, Bart, Richard, Jeffrey, Benjamin, Ross, Chris, and Paul's laudable percipients, you'll find the donate button on the right side of the page at scathingatheist.com. And if you want to earn our perennial appreciation for free, you can always leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and if you haven't checked us out on Stitcher, download the free and very awesome Stitcher app and check us out there as well. Really helps our ranking and helps more people find the show. If you have questions, comments, or death threats, you'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com. All the music used in this episode was written and performed by yours truly, and yes, I did have my permission.
blah, blah, blah.
All right. So give me a quick sound test, babe.
All right. Penis. Penis, penis, penis.
I need more than just the penis.
Okay.